Kristen.
Hi, Natalie.
Do you know that today is a very, very special podcast?
Tell me why.
Because this is podcast number 50!
50! Well, 50 is a big number.
It is. This is our either midlife crisis or...
is this like our... What is 50?
A golden
anniversary?
Yeah.
Of our podcast?
Whatever it is, it feels very sacred to me.
I know.
I still remember when you said, I really feel called to do a podcast. And I remember being like, I don't think I have that calling. because I just really didn't know anything about it. And you were such an avid listener of podcasts. And through the experience of doing podcasts, I'm now obsessed with so many podcasts. And I listen to them all the time. And I'm so grateful to find ourselves here at number 50. I can't believe it.
I know.
It's astonishing that we just get together every week and talk about something and people want to listen.
Thank you, all of you, who want to listen to us talk and be in the middle of our friendship. It's kind of beautiful that we get to have this really fun and exciting friendship, and the conversations you and I have about life and about spirituality and creativity, and that even as we sit here in your apartment now, it's like everyone who listens is also here in this apartment.
Yes.
And being part of the conversation.
And it always feels that way. Yeah. It always feels to me like this beautiful friendship, you know,
yes.
Like even deeper than a community. It's like, because, you know, we all know that we have friends that are friends, and we know that we have friends that are like life partners.
Yeah.
That when shit hits the fan or when you're in your dark night of the soul, like those are the people that are really there for you.
That's right.
And I think that's many of these conversations that we've had together have been us really expressing what that feels like for us, whether it's the height of our joy of something we're so excited to jam about or something that's really deep that's coming up personally for us. And it's such a blessing, like beyond blessing. There's like, we need a new word for blessing to be able to share it with so many people and have so many people just be with us in this conversation.
Well, it's like that feeling of like, we're all in it together. It's like one team. We're all playing the same game. And we're all in this conversation of how do I become my best self? How do I get in touch with my inner voice? How do I bring my Dharma forward? And it does feel that like this kind of like conversation that the world is having right now of how do we make a better planet?
Mm.
How do we all work in harmony with each other?
Mm-hmm.
How do we find a new paradigm?
Yeah, and it has to start with us just having conversations about what we care about, what we're scared of, what we're excited about, and just continuing to speak it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So we can find our tribe of people who feel the same way. Then we can get together and create the change we want to see.
All right, let's do that.
It's so powerful. So,
okay.
Because it's our... Is this an anniversary? I have bought you a present? Is it wood year? Is it paper year? I don't even know. If anyone's listening knows what present I should get for Kristen for our 50th, please let me know.
Yeah, please message her and tell her what present to buy me. Well, okay, so one of the things, friends, I have to let you know is that when we do our podcast, we have these kind of analytics where we can see where people are who download the podcast.
And kind of like we're spying on you, but in a loving way.
Yeah, like the most... Well, it feels like... Well, it's like we have secret admirers. And like we get to go online and be like, who loves us where?
And how can we love you?
And so one of the things that's exciting is to see where we're being downloaded. And we thought it'd be like a really fun thing for our 50th podcast if we just give a shout out to you who is listening to us, wherever you are, and just mention some of the fun places that love us and that we love.
It's so exciting. So, I mean, we teach primarily in New York. So, first and foremost, to our amazing New York community, we see you and we're so grateful that we get to be with you. And in this crazy city that never sleeps, we are just like so excited and pumped that we get to share this experience with you.
And all of the art you're making blows our minds.
Yeah.
Like that is like, It's like watching a garden explode with the most beautiful colors.
Yeah. And our LA community,
yes.
You know, we try to get out to LA once every couple of months, and you guys are such an anchor for us. And so we have so many listeners in LA, and we're so grateful that you are, you know, whether it's in the car ride on your way to an audition or sharing with your friends, that you are enjoying and being with us in these conversations. It just like warms our hearts beyond.
On that note, this is what's really interesting. So after New York and LA, the next place that like has the most downloads,
actually more than LA,
Yeah,
more that's downloads actually in LA.
Yes, that's true. Is Tokyo.
Tokyo, what is up? Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
All I want to do is go to Tokyo.
Okay, well, let's go to Tokyo.
I want to go have like all the experience. So any of our listeners in Tokyo, have us over to your house because we will book plane tickets and come.
Yeah, the thing about Natalie and I is we can't wait to book plane tickets. Actually, the other night we just booked some plane tickets. But if you send us a message, you know, like on our website, and let us know who you are, we'll come visit you.
Yeah, we would love that. We would love to hear your stories. We would love to like have you on our podcast and find out who you are.
That's
and
right.
How you are being an artist in your life. It's just, it's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
From a place that it feels so far away that you are tuning in. We just can't express how cool that feels.
That feels really cool.
And so some other special shout outs that we just had to share is within the U.S. we have Oregon. We mm-hmm. want to give you a huge shout out.
Or Oregon. If you're not from Canada.
Oh, I said it the funny way.
You said it the Canadian way, which by the way is the
about.
Cute. You're so cute.
I'm sorry. I did so much dialect coaching, but it still sneaks in.
I love it.
San Fran.
Yes. San Francisco. I don't know who you are listening in San Francisco, but we're in love with you.
We're in love. I've always wanted to go there.
I love San Francisco, the way the fog and the... Okay, so...
Kristen went and taught there once, but I couldn't make it. Ugh, it's a whole thing. Well, speaking of places Kristen has taught that I couldn't make it, Hawaii.
That's right. We have listeners who are downloading in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Colorado.
Yes, there's like definitely this... like a nice blossom inside of Colorado, and thank you for you guys.
And Chicago. Also, yes. All these places I've never been, so I now know what the calling for my next year is.
We're just going to go to all these places.
That's all I want to do.
So, if you are listening in different towns, and you say, Kristen and Natalie, come teach in my living room, we will book plane tickets and we will come.
We are not joking.
We are not joking. We love to travel and we love to teach.
Also, we have Tabasco, South America.
Yeah, so I don't know where Tabasco is. We looked on the map. It's right above like Belize, I think. But there was like this whole like bunch of downloads there, and we're like, well, whoever is there,
we want to go there.
Yeah, we'll go there.
That's cool. And then also shout out to Cayman Islands, Georgetown.
Yeah.
Thank you. Definitely where we want to go.
Yeah.
For spring break.
Cayman Islands. We look great in bathing suits.
Mumbai, India.
Mumbai.
And India, as you know, as someone who has really studied you know, the Yoga Sutras and the philosophies of yoga. Obviously, India knocks on my heart all the time. And I love the rich history and beauty and tradition of you all. So thank you so much. And then also the Ukraine.
Yeah. What?
Friends in Ukraine. Thank you. How fun are you? Dublin.
Yes, Dublin.
England.
All over England.
Throughout England.
Yeah. Paris.
Paris, which is, FYI, the place we just bought plane tickets. So all our listeners in Paris, we are actually going to be teaching in Paris in the new year. We're going to be teaching Pleasure in Paris, a beautiful, fun weekend. If you listen to our last podcast, it was with this amazing guy, John DeVisi, who's one of our best friends. The three of us are coming out there.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
We haven't even announced this, but it's happening.
Well, I just went ahead. I was like, you know, when in Paris?
Then you announced Pleasure in Paris.
And I will only be teaching with baguettes in my hand, just so you know.
I'm already hungry for bread.
also, biggest shout outs to Auckland.
Uh-huh.
And also Dunedin in New Zealand.
That's right.
Fantastic. I actually have had the great pleasure of going to Australia and New Zealand. You've been to Australia as well. The most genuine human beings, the most beautiful people. And so we're so grateful that you're tuning in and hanging out with us.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see, like, all over the map of the U.S., all over the map of Europe, like, these dots of the downloads. And
dots of downloads!
Dots of downloads! Ah! And it's an exciting thing to feel like we have friends all over the place. So we want to encourage you that we want it to be a two-way conversation. So please reach out. Go on our Create Facebook page and know that we're thinking of you and we honor you and we value you.
And we want to keep this conversation going. So, you know, if you join if you go to our www.thecreateseries.com, you can join our mailing list. And if you do so, you can get a free download from Kristen and I, just this free, beautiful kind of exploration of how you can develop a morning practice, which is really how Kristen and I sustain ourselves in our crazy industry, in our crazy business, in the crazy land of New York. It's been kind of like the number one tool for us. So we're excited to share that with you. So join us and then we will be able to communicate with you and we would love that so much.
And now,
on
friends,
that note,
number 50 podcast, our topic tonight is, drum roll please.
We're kind of merging a few topics, but basically the topic that we're starting from is going from wanting to having. And how this conversation kind of started is, you know, as an actor, my experience, of course, is you always want the next job. You always want the next audition. You always want the next thing that's around the corner. But it doesn't really matter what your profession is. Like, I often think of my mom, who just, it was like the next day, like, what was like the dinner she was going to make be that night? What was the house going to look like? How is the next way I'm going to decorate? What's the next thing I want to do? What's the next trip I want to go on? It's like, we all always have this idea of what's the next thing. And oftentimes we end up in this space of always feeling like we're wanting things, but sometimes that can get to feel tricky because then we feel like, well, whenever I'm in the energy of wanting, I'm not in the energy of having. So we wanted to have this conversation because we actually have very different views on this.
Yes.
Than the traditional conditioned way.
Right. And expansion is the name of the game. So we're here and expansion is always what our soul is doing. It's always calling us to be more. So there's always going to be that thing in our heart that says, go here, do this, I'm giving you a vision of this, here's the next frontier. But what's interesting, and this is kind of like where we enter the conversation from, is we were often raised either by people or in a society that believed that the things that were inside our heart or what those callings were out of reach, right? So many times people get into this feeling of like, I want this, but I can't have it.
Yes.
Right? So something is off limits. Something is out of my ability to have.
And don't, when we start feeling that way, don't we then just say, well, what's the point of even wanting it? Like,
yes.
If I can't have it, then all the wanting does is bring me into suffering.
Right. And so then people like try to turn the volume down on their wanting. They can often get into addictions or trying to like turn the volume down on that inner voice.
Or shaming ourselves for wanting it, or feeling guilty for wanting it, or feeling like we're flawed for wanting it. I actually remember once someone who's really dear to me was in this great Broadway show, living in New York, gorgeous apartment, like everything was working and there was still other desires.
Yeah.
And then they felt a sense of, I'm not allowed to say that out loud because there's so many people who just would wish to have what I have. So I have to just be grateful for what I have because I'm not allowed to even say I want more than that. And so no matter where you are on the spectrum, whether you are someone who feels like you're like at the bottom of the barrel in your life or in your dark night of the soul and you're just trying to pay your rent, or someone who feels like I've really made it, quote unquote, I've really, you know, done great things with my life and then there's still more callings and now I feel guilty for that, wherever you are in your life, this conversation is one that keeps happening.
It'll never stop happening. And I think what we are interested in doing in our own lives is turning the conversation around and redefining some of these terms.
Yes.
So that we start to look at, we want to take maybe the focus off the wanting and tune into the term desire.
Yeah.
And we talk about this a lot, that desire is life asking for itself, right? That desire is this amazing thing inside ourselves. It's this calling. It's the way the universe speaks to us. It's the way it says, here's where we're going next.
Mm.
Here's what I have for you. Here's what I've intended for you. So if the spark is inside of you, it means we're going places, kid.
Yeah.
I have a new... You know what it makes me think about is like when 007 at the beginning of the movies would get like the secret like mission.
Yes.
Here's where we're going to go next, right?
Yeah.
Like, and this message will self-destruct.
And it always leads to like the most beautiful women and the most crazy adventures.
Yes.
But that's the whole point of the movie.
That's right.
Is seeing the hero go through this process.
Yes, even when there are obstacles and complications, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can know that, one of the things that A Course in Miracles talks about is that we only have one problem, and that problem's already been solved. And the problem, it says, is we think we're separate, but we're not. So if we can see ourselves in this universe where we are already connected to everything, and what a luxury, if you could take off your blinders and go, oh, I am one with everything. I'm already connected to everything. Well, that's a lot of options.
Yeah.
So how does a being know how to navigate in this universe when you're connected to everything, right?
Like even, when we talk about quantum physics, they talk about the quantum field is unlimited possibilities. Well, listen, how many years do we have on this planet? Unlimited possibilities is just... like, not any single one of us is going to come to this planet and experience every single possibility.
Right.
It's not possible. But isn't it empowering and exciting to know that the menu of life is there for our choosing?
That's right.
We don't need to eat everything on the menu. And in fact, if we do, it's not for our highest good. We don't feel good when we do that. But the menu of infinite possibility is presented to us so that we can stand as powerful creators and say, wow, I get a say in this.
Yes.
This isn't just life happens and I have to learn how to deal with it in a more spiritual, more holistic way. I actually am in conversation with the universe at every single moment.
That's right. And, I think where wanting can equal suffering is when we think we're separate from the thing that we want.
Right.
And that's where we want to, turn the conversation on its head and say, first of all, you're not separate, mm-hmm. right? So that story that you were brought up with of, I have something I want, but I can't have it, is actually bullcaca, right?
Yeah, and Pete Rollins talks a lot about, and I believe he got this from like psychoanalytic theory, but he talks a lot about how wanting something that you feel you can't have is actually the experience of depression.
Yes.
And then he goes on to say, but then there's also the experience of having wanted something and then you get it and it didn't actually make you happy, right? And then that's kind of the cycle that we end up spending most of our lives in.
Right.
And then life goes by and we're like, whoa, was that what this is about? I just wanted things and I either didn't get them or I did. And then when I did get them, I either just felt relieved that I got it, but then I just wanted something else anyway and it didn't really fulfill me,
right?
Which is melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I was just on to wanting the next thing. So I just keep myself in a perpetual cycle of not enoughness, not feeling worthy, always feeling like I'm chasing something. And then whatever I feel like I'm chasing, that dangling carrot, I chase it all the way to the end of my days. And I get to the end of my days and go, can I have a do-over? Because I missed the whole thing.
Well, one of the things that I love that John DeVisi says from The Course in Miracles, he does his own little spin on it, but he says, the ego or the small self will keep us always in striving but never arriving,
yeah.
right? And so there's a part of us that wants to say we're not there yet until all the boxes are checked.
Right.
Right? So if we can know that we're in a game, we're in this beautiful game called life, and that life itself is always going to keep giving us desires because it always wants us to expand. But we're already whole and complete.
Yeah.
We're already perfect. We already have it all. And now, in this game, in this beautiful 007 adventure, we're going to get these callings, these desires that says, why don't you go here next? Why don't you investigate this next? And the fact that I give you that calling means I have it for you in escrow.
And don't you often find, it's like if you think about romantic partners mm-hmm. you've had in your life or friendships you've had yes. in your life, or you know, if you're an artist, a role you've played or a script you've written or something mm-hmm. you've directed or a song you've written. It's like Michael Beckwith talks about it as you're not here to get anything. Mm. You're here to let something unfold in you.
That's right.
So it's like that partner, that script, that circumstance shows up in your life and something unfolds in you. It's like that thing inspires this new side of you to come out to play. And that's kind of what the whole game is. It's not really about that thing outside of you,
no.
but it's about what that thing outside of you inspires you to become in the process of going after that thing.
It unleashes in you. Right. Rumi says that lovers don't find each other. They were inside each other all along, right? So it's almost as if there are things that are planted in us that want to unfurl, that want to unfold. And the way that life gets us to go down this path or up this mountain is it says, go here next.
Yes.
Try this next.
Which
right?
is our desire.
Right.
Right? Because I will have such specific desires, whether it's from I feel like walking down this street instead of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows where that came from? Or I feel like ordering this off the menu instead of this. Who knows where that comes from? But we're in a constant conversation with life.
Yes.
Constantly having the opportunity to say, what do I desire? What do I desire? And instead of saying, well, why do I have this desire? Or let me figure out what this desire is about. Why can't we just get into a place of saying, what if the second the desire arises in me, that is the guiding post to my true north? And that is the thing that is saying, as Abraham Hicks will say, the second the desire shows up, it's already in your vortex.
Yes.
It's already energetically happening the second you want it.
Right. The moment it arrives, it's already there. Right?
Like the moment you say to the waiter, I'll have the salmon, the salmon is getting cooked. So the salmon is not in front of you. It is not on your plate, but it is already happening the second you said, I want that.
And even though, here's the thing, when we order the salmon from the waiter, we have faith that it's back there in the kitchen.
That's right.
Right? So we don't have a problem saying, I'll have the salmon, even though it's not there yet. But in life, somehow we get into this lack of faith that it is actually there somewhere and possible. So what we would, I think, like to add to the conversation is the moment you want it, know you have it.
Right.
We did this exercise in Create the other day that I thought was so interesting, where we talked about what are the habits of wanting. And some of the things that people said are, when you are in wanting, like, what are the feelings you have?
Oh, it was like all the, like, oh, I feel anxious, I feel impatient, I feel lethargic, I feel envious of other people who have what I want, I feel downtrodden, I feel over it, I feel resentful. You know, like, it's like the laundry list of, it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't, yeah, and we filled up a whole whiteboard of all of these words, and what we were talking about is we have been trained in the habit of being in wanting as opposed to being in the habit of having. And if we know energetically we're already connected, we can change the game that we're playing by saying the moment it arrives inside of me, that means it's already in my escrow. It means it's already in the kitchen. It's ready to be cooked. Right? So that what we can do now, instead of being in the habit of wanting, is the habit of having.
Yeah.
And then we erased all those words. We talked about what are the habits of having. And we listed all the things that we feel when we're having something.
Right?
It's like appreciation, excitement, pride,
ecstasy, joy,
euphoria.
Love.
Yes. All these words that are so exciting.
Time stops.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. If we can just start changing the conversation around so that we can start advancing in that direction from a different energetic point.
Because one thing I love that Abraham Hicks talks a lot about is, you know, it it's like the second you desire something, there's an opportunity to create momentum for it or against it, right? We can either go around collecting all of the evidence of it's not here yet, therefore I don't really believe it's coming.
Right.
Or we can practice those habits, those behaviors of already having it. We can be excited for it's coming. And it's like whatever we're going to put our energy into is going to either speed up or slow down the process.
That's right.
You know, I love that they say impatience tells you you don't have it yet. And then the reality of not having it becomes stronger with more momentum behind it than it occurring.
That's right. And impatience will often turn into lack of faith. I don't believe it's there for me. I don't believe anything's there for me, which turns into inertia, no movement, right? And there's this great quote that I love, and it's from Jack Canfield. Mm-hmm. And it says, everything you want is out there waiting for you to ask. Everything you want also wants you, but you have to take action to get it. And when meditating on this quote, what came up was the action is actually just symbolizing faith, right? The action isn't important because, like, you have to go work hard. Like, there's this, like, myth of you have to go work hard to get it. What came in, what dropped in is, oh, action, movement forward, just demonstrates I have faith that it is.
It's literally an act of faith.
That's right.
Right?
Right. So if we believe we're connected to it, we believe it wants us like we want it, the action just shows the universe, I believe you.
Mm.
I trust you. I trust this desire you put in me is because it's for me. And so it becomes then a conversation with something bigger than us, that our willingness to take steps forward is because we believe in something bigger than us is happening.
I once heard someone describe their experience of disease, and they described it as, this disease doesn't live in my body, it lives in my behaviors. That there's, my body is actually this pure, amazing vessel that is here to be my vehicle, to take me through life, to fulfill everything that I want. And there's nothing actually wrong with the vehicle. But if I'm putting like really bad fuel in that vehicle over and over, then of course it's going to break down.
Yes.
And it's not my job to yell at the vehicle when it breaks down. It's my job to say, what do you need? How am I not serving you? What are the behaviors that are making you not run efficiently for me?
Ooh.
And what I think that comes up around wanting and having is, I think we grew up in a conditioning of wanting that was so strong. I mean, I grew up in Canada in a tiny, tiny place in a trailer park, you know, like I know what wanting is
like,
all about.
There's a lot of wanting in a trailer park.
You know, there's a lot of just feeling like not enough, and the ceiling is pretty low, and there's only so far we can go, and there's only so much we can do, and there's only so much money to be made. Right? And that keeps you in a perpetual state of just wanting something. But it's the opportunity at all times to say, am I investing more energy into the old story or the new story? And one thing that I love that yoga describes and my teacher, Christy Marsden, talks about is when you have a habit, let's say you have a habit of smoking, right? And you want to change that habit. If you just take that habit out of your life, but you don't replace it with anything else, there is not enough will or strength in the world to make you not go back to that habit, because we will be so uncomfortable in the void that inevitably when life gets hard, when we get anxious, when something goes down, that old habit is going to creep back in. But all that is doing is again putting more and more and more and more energy into the habit that we know instead of the habit that is actually who we are and what we were born here to be. So if we want the habits of high performance, the habits of someone who's got all the money, that the habits of someone who's out there living their best life, then we need to adopt that in our behavior so that the actions will come forth and be born from that behavior. And it gives us the opportunity to, like in the smoking example, you know, you take away the smoking. Well, there was a habitual thing of breathing really deeply when you did that, or maybe there was that was the time when work would get really tough. You'd step away and have that moment for yourself, or it was really social for you. Whatever that experience is, so how can you develop a new habit for those exact moments? Mm-hmm. How can you develop that when things get really hard? What's the new habit to help you breathe deep? What's the new habit to help you learn how to take that time? And when you start to develop that new habit and you practice it, and your behaviors support that practice over time, then before you know it, it's not a matter of will anymore. It's a matter of, this is just who I am and this is just what I do.
Right. I feel like habits are the thing that tell the universe what we truly believe, right? The habit is the actual testimony of where I'm putting my full investment, right? Mm. I had a client the other day, and the person was saying that they had these huge, like, visions of what they're supposed to do on the planet. It was very clear. Like, the message was always consistent. It never was different. It was like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. But they couldn't see the how of that would make money right now, right? Like, it felt so big that it felt like it was incongruous, right? And yeah. We talk all the time about, like, how is not my job. So in not taking steps forward or building habits around that calling, it's saying to the universe, I don't believe in you. Yeah. And I don't believe in this thing that you put in my heart.
And I don't believe in my own worthiness. I don't believe in my capacity to handle it.
That's right.
I don't believe that I can hold it yet.
Well, worthiness comes up so much, right? Worthiness of saying, like, I have to prove that I can have it by doing all of these things.
I have to earn it.
I have to earn it. And so maybe what the conversation wants to turn into is, ooh, I see this calling inside of me. Okay, this is my mission, 007. Let me start investigating that and creating habits out of the universe knows how this is possible.
Yeah.
Not my job of knowing how it's possible, but just my job and investing in the habits of this calling.
But any hero story that we look at, the hero never knows how it's going to happen either.
Never.
Right? The hero never has any idea, and the hero never does it perfectly.
Not supposed to.
The whole point of the story is that they go after something that's bigger than them, that's bigger than their paradigm, right? And they're faced with obstacle and hindrances and disagreement and everything that they could possibly be dealt with. And there's always that moment when they're like on the floor, like crisis of faith, I don't know what to do. And then when they know they do, and when you know you do, and when you know you do, but you have to stay in the game. You have to stay in the story.
Yes.
If you leave the story to say, it's too much, I'm going back there, then all that will ever do is create resentment, depression, rumination, uncomfortability, and a feeling of, I'm not really doing what I'm meant to do here. And then we must cover that up with other addictive habits to make that feel a little bit better for ourselves. And the thing that I think is fascinating is, you know, we could all think maybe right now of like, here's something that I want to call in. Here's a desire I have. And here's who the person is who can hold that desire, right? Like, here's who I would be if I had everything I wanted right now.
Right.
But I think we can all also agree that, maybe we're not consistently living that truth just yet. So maybe if the behaviors were in alignment, then the truth could also be in alignment with the behaviors.
So it's really this like beautiful unraveling of when I get a calling inside of me, there are behaviors the universe is asking me to develop, right? So if I have a calling to be this amazing writer, maybe the universe is just asking me to listen and start to download and put it onto the computer. If I have a calling to start a business, the universe is just asking me to get in the habit of thinking about, like, what does it look like? What's the next step? How can I be visible as the ambassador of this? Like, there are new behaviors that the universe wants me to walk into, and each behavior is actually underlying it is a universal truth it wants me to stand for.
Because it's who I really am.
That's right.
I had this really fun thing this week. So I was, one of the things I've been teaching on this week in some of my classes is about, it's all a game,
mm-hmm.
right? And how can we cultivate the energy of like, I'm a player in the game. And if I see it all as a game, it feels less personal
yes.
and feels less like someone's doing something to me. It's like, okay, how can I play the game? How can I play the game? Now, it's really easy to play the game when everything's going your way.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this really fun experience this week where there was this whole kerfuffle where I was like selling my old bed and getting a new bed. So the old bed was sold. That was a whole opportunity to play the game, right? Because it was like I had posted it on all these sites. There was like all these scammers. And I just kept feeling so frustrated, but it's like, how can I play the game? How can I play the game? And I was so proud of myself that I felt like I totally handled it. So then, you know, the new bed comes and it's like the delivery guys are carrying it up the floors and they're not happy. They're very upset. They're sweaty. And I'm like, it's a game. Can I get you water? Like, I'm going to like charm them and be cute and funny. So they get like the base of the bed. It's like the wrong thing. It doesn't have legs on it. It's like a whole kerfuffle. Now, one of the things I've been personally trying to take a stand for this year, and one of my words for this year, is autonomy. How can I learn to really like stand up for myself, to stand for myself, to say like, I can handle things. I don't always need someone to bail me out. I don't need someone to help me. Like, I got it, right? This is just something I wanted to play. This is a game I wanted to activate in myself. Well, be careful what you wish for activation on. So, you know, the bed doesn't fit. It doesn't have legs. They're very upset. So they're like, you know, are you going to refuse it? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. So they like huff down the stairs. And then I have all the instincts of like, I don't have anywhere to sleep. I'm really scared. I don't know what to do. Like, do I call Kristen? Do it? Like, I need someone to help me. And I was feeling overwhelmed. Now, at the same time, my phone was blowing up with a film I'm producing. And it was like all the triggers, all the stimulus. And in that moment, the habit of wanting to be the person who's autonomous, but who really isn't, who really needs help, was so strong and telling me, you're overwhelmed, you can't handle it, you're gonna burst into tears, it's all gonna go downhill. But the calling in me to have the habit of someone who is already autonomous and can do this was just ever so slightly bigger. And so it was this perfect New York moment in my bare feet in the winter. I run down the stairs. I'm like, guys, you bring the mattress up, put it on the floor, whatever. I'm going to work it out. They're like, we're not doing that. I'm like, we're like having this conversation on the street. They're like closing the truck. Like they're going to leave with my mattress. And I was like, guys, come on. But then something kind of came over me where I was just like, I'm the person who can handle this.
Mm.
And it was like, I looked in their eyeballs and I'm like, you are going to bring this mattress upstairs and I'm going to give you each $20 to do it. And then they were like, okay. And like all of a sudden I was like, oh, I did it. I did it, right? And it might seem like the silliest example, but like they brought it up. It was all good. I gave them bottles of water. I gave them each 20. I wished them well. And then like my sweet little bed on the floor, I sat on it like the happiest girl. Like, I did it. I didn't need to call anybody to help me. I didn't need to ask anyone. Like, and I almost started to cry after the fact because, you know, when you're like, feel uh-huh. like you were really brave and then after it was over, you're like, ah! But it's like that is the calling in all of us. It's like, who do we want to be? How can we practice being that
mm-hmm.
in the moment when it feels really hard?
Yes.
And the more we can cultivate it, the more proud of ourselves we are, and the more we prove to ourselves that we can do it, so we don't always need the universe to prove to us that it can do it.
That's right. Well, because the universe always wants to do it through us to show us we are it, right? And that we are one with it, right? That the power that the entire universe has is in us. So that's ready for to be accessed at any moment. And I love that story that you just shared because it's so great because it reminds all of us that like here we are at any moment playing the game and we have different options we can choose. And what do we want to access inside of us? And I, you know, you and I have been talking all week about how it's a game, and I have this little post-it note that I can't tell you how many times this dumb little post-it note on my desk has helped me. But it says, it's a game. Have fun. You're in a process. Have fun in the process of the game. You know, Abraham Hicks talks about it's never over. Mm-hmm. It never ends, mm-hmm. right? And I even like to think of, if we're all on the same team of this beautiful game that we're playing, that even when we pass over and pass to the other side, the game keeps getting played, and then we just play it from the other side. Mm. Like, if any of us have ever had a relative or a dear friend pass, you can almost feel them cheering you on from the other side, right?
Yeah.
It's like you never stop playing this game that is happening, whether you're in form or out of form. So don't think there's ever a moment you're going to pass that finish line, right? But what we can do is go, I give myself so much grace and so much applause and say, here I am playing. Congratulations. And now let me have ease and joy and fun in the playingness of it. And what helps is being able to step outside of the game for a moment, know that we have it all already, access that fun and that pride and that euphoria of the fact that we have it all. I have it. It's already mine. And now I'm stepping back into the game, and I know that I can reach that point inside of me where I know that I have it as I play it.
Right, because everything that is inside of us, right? Every single one of us can look at our past and say, there was a moment in our past where I couldn't figure out how it was possible.
There was a moment you did not live in New York, that you wanted to live in New York, you did not know how it was going to happen.
That's right. And it was like, in my paradigm of my perspective, it was impossible that it could ever happen outside of like a fairy tale.
Right.
Right? We can all look back and say, there was a moment when no way and no how, and a way was made. There was a moment where all of a sudden I had strength. I always think about this with like parents. Like, people decide to have a baby, and then all of a sudden you're holding this human tiny being that just came out of your body, and you're like, oh, now what? Right? And then, you know, the baby grows up and it's 5 years old and it's 10 years old and it's 20 years old. And you're like, I didn't know how to do any of that, but it happened.
That's right.
And it just kept happening. And I kept showing up and I did it imperfectly. And there were times when I played the game in a way I was really proud of. And there were times when I played the game and went, epic fail. But that's the fun thing about a game. Game over, restart.
Yeah.
Every second of every day, we have the opportunity to say, the past is past. And whatever I was in the past, I don't have to carry that forward unless I like it. Or I can say, okay, every other time I've played this game of romantic relationship, I've done this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
This time, I'm going to try something different. Okay, it still went the other way. Okay, great. Now I'm going to try something different.
New game.
New game.
New game.
New game. New game.
Every moment is a moment to say new game. And that is what's beautiful about the universe.
And so when we talk about the habits of having, when we did it on the whiteboard in class, it's like the things everyone was saying is like, when you already have it, when you're already the lead on the show, when you already have lots of money in the bank account, when your kids have already grown up and they're great and they're fine, you know, whatever that thing is, when you've already gotten the job, if you were going into the job interview with that energy of like, oh, I'm already in this place and I already know everyone and we already work really well together, then you get to play a different game.
That's right. Because
you have the habit of ease, relaxation, fun, joy. You can lead with your heart. There's this energy where you can actually be in the process without worrying about the process because you know you already have it.
Well, that was the story of my day today. Like, Natalie knows, I got some news this morning that was like, hit my heart a little hard. And if I were in a place where I wanted to make a victim story, I could be like, I'm leaving the business. I'm done, right? And I saw myself walking down the streets of New York thinking about this lecture going, I'm playing the game of having. So if I already am one with who my higher self knows that I am, what if I go into my inner calling of the vision that I've been given, know that I'm already connected to it, know that I already have all that spirit has communicated to me is mine. If I have that already, right? And then I looked at this issue, I was like, this ain't no thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is no sweat off my back. this isn't a big deal. This is like...
this is just the fireball being thrown at you in Super Mario Brothers. Yeah, and all you got to do is jump.
Yeah, this is just passing through.
Yeah.
I have nothing on this, right?
Yeah.
And so it was really interesting to go, all right, so how I play the game is so dependent on the way that I enter the game. Mm. Am I coming in from wanting or am I coming in from having?
Mm. So we invite you who are listening. We did this exercise with everyone who is with us in Create this week, but look at in your own life when you find yourself in wanting energy. What does that feel like for you? What words describe that? What does it feel like in your body versus when you really have something? How do you feel then? What does that look like in your body? How do you walk down the street differently? What are your behaviors when you feel like you already have it, when you feel like you already are it? And then the calling that we're inciting or asking or getting really curious about is, can you, even if it's a really tricky situation, even if it's something that you can't see the forest through the trees, can you embody some of the feeling of, I already have the answer, it's already worked out, it's already all okay? How can you start to cultivate that energy and then watch yourself be able to move more gracefully, more calmly, more joyously through the experience? Because life is not meant to be a walk in the park. Life is meant to be, let's play all the levels. And every level I play, it gets a little bit harder. But I decided I wanted to play, and the payoff is so good.
It makes me think of when you're doing an obstacle course, you know, when you're like climbing up the rope wall, like that builds muscle,
yeah,
right? Like, and actually, the more challenging the game, the more skilled it makes you as a player.
That's
it. And we want to be the most skilled player who's ever set foot on the game.
And what we know is that the masters, right, the most skilled players, they end up knowing themselves the best, because we know ourselves through our pain more than we know ourselves through our own pleasure.
Right, contrast shows us who we really are and what it is that we really came here to do.
So that is what we are asking tonight, folks. Mm-hmm. Can we all play this game together? And nothing would bring us more joy. If you're not already on our Facebook page, especially our listeners from far and wide, come and join our Create Community Facebook page and let us know, like write a post, say, this is how I'm playing the game. This is what's coming up for me. You know, it would just be so enlivening and exciting to hear how it's showing up in your life, whether it's a big job or a mattress. It's all the same game.
It's all the same game. And isn't it fun to go, whether it's a small game today or a big game today, I'm going to play it with the same intention to be my best and highest self.
Right. I love the Abraham Hicks quote that says, the universe has the ability to yield to you. You can create a castle or a button with the same ease. The only difference is the tension you create around that object that you desire.
Woo!
So let us take a stand that tension lives in the land of wanting, and that is not the game we are playing.
Mm-mm.
We are playing a game of already having, already being, and it is all within.
Friends, thank you so much for playing this game with us tonight, and thank you for being our teammates.
We love you.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!